Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it's Monday, March 30. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 4,163 cases of coronavirus and 17 people have died. I'm now joined by Dominic Powell, who is The Age and Sydney Morning Herald's retail reporter. Dominic Powell, welcome to Please Explain for your first appearance.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You have probably never been more busy in your professional life than you have been in the last couple of weeks. Is it possible for you to give us an overview on this Monday of the situation for Australian retail?
Sure. So I think the general overview is that unless you're a supermarket or a grocer, you are hurting really badly at the moment. I think the general consensus is that sales in discretionary retailers, so discretionary are sort of, you know, your fashion retailers, your, you know, booksellers, electronics retailers to a bit of a lesser extent, but sales in discretionary retailers are down anywhere between 50% to 75%. Which is just whopping. Like you wouldn't see that in a sort of standard trading year, almost ever. So it's been a massive hit, and retail chief executives are, you know, they've got no precedent. There's no way to sort of prepare yourself for something like this. So they've been completely blindsided, and they've got. They just don't really know how to prepare for it or deal with it. So it's been a sort of a really sort of shocking week for the retail sector, and they're all sort of still working out how to proceed. And as we've seen, a lot of retail stores have shut their doors because they've all viewed that as the best way to go ahead, because they currently view the social distancing rules from the government as sort of untenable. They can't continue to trade during that time. So right now, everyone's just sort of in a bit of a holding pattern, I think, and hoping things that will improve in the future.
Dom, this has come at a time where the retail sector was already struggling. There was structural problems in Australian retail that seemed to have nothing to do with the strength of the economy. It just probably relates to a change in behaviour amongst Australians on their consumption habits and also the way they shop, with people shopping more online. So some of our biggest retailers were already in dire straits. Myer is one of them that comes to mind. Now they've had to make the decision over the weekend to close all their stores. I believe David Jones at this point was trying to keep some of them open, but how tenable that is with the new two-person rule, we will see. Those big companies that are shutting their doors, are they going to be able to survive, or is this actually going to kill off some of Australia's biggest, most iconic retailers?
I think at this point they're all hopeful that they will be able to survive, and we've seen some sort of action from the government to sort of hopefully prevent this. You know, landlords are being unable to evict tenants, and the wage subsidy, which will be announced today, I believe, should go a fair way to sort of keeping some of these retailers alive. But I think the big question is how long it goes on for. So if we sort of see stores reopening in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I think that the vast majority of retailers will be able to stay open and stay alive. But if that goes on for any longer, if we start seeing 2 months, you know, even 3 months, I think there'd be some serious questions around the viability of some of the retailers that have currently shut their doors. Myer, you know, that's obviously a very iconic brand and very well loved for a lot of Australians. Right now, the general thought amongst analysts is that they will be able to keep running. They've got about $100 million of cash on hand, I believe, and they'll at this point, with all the support from the government, they should be able to stay running for the next 6 weeks or so. And then there's questions that if it gets to a certain point, they might have to raise additional capital from shareholders to sort of, you know, be able to keep trading and sort of get them over the line until things can return to normal, as much as things will be able to return to normal. Mm.
Does a company like Myer have much of an online sales revenue stream, or are they mostly people coming through the doors?
I think Myer is, and I'm not 100% sure on the exact figures, but probably about 10 to 20% of their sales would be online. And they've been doing a lot of effort to sort of boost that online capacity. And I think as of their full year results last year in August, they announced that their online sales are now, sort of the amount of money they make through their online sales now eclipses the amount of money they make at their largest store, which I believe is the Bourke Street store in Melbourne. So online's a big part for Myer, but it's still nothing compared to, you know, the amount of revenue that the other 60 stores would bring in. So it'll keep some money trickling in, but, you know, I think there's also the question is that how many shoppers are going to go to Myer online to buy their things at the moment. You know, there's a whole raft of other issues around online shopping.
Yeah. I would have thought that obviously the restrictions on movement has been the biggest factor in the store closures, but also just demand, because none of us need any new clothes when we can't leave the house. We're all basically living at best on casual Friday standards at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've got two pairs of tracksuit pants that I've been rotating between for the past, you know, 2 weeks. But yeah, it's. I think a lot of the retailers are saying that the reason they're shutting the doors is because of the social distancing guidelines, which is right. Like, you know, you can't run a store, you can't run a small specialty store where there's, you know, you can only have three people in the space at once. But I think the real issue is that beforehand, sales quite literally had fallen off a cliff. Mm. Like it went from, you know, tracking a little bit down, and then it hit, I think, that weekend 2 weeks ago, and then the Monday it was just down 50%. Mm. And it's like, you can't, what do you do with that situation? That's why we've seen so many store closures and so many people stood down.
Well, we will get to the supermarkets in a bit, but in the sort of fashion and lifestyle sector, are there any bright spots? Are there any plucky Australian companies who have just been able to turn around their online business in a clever way and actually making the most of this opportunity?
One company that does spring to mind that, so there's a company called, it's an ASX listed retailer called City Chic, and it's a plus size clothing chain. And it's been sort of, it's had a pretty good year, and they most recently acquired a US online clothing seller called Avenue. They bought it out of administration, so they got it fairly cheaply. And they stood down their staff on Friday, I believe, but they will keep paying their staff because they've got about 160-odd stores, I think, and those stores only make up about 30% of their revenue. So the other 70% of their revenue is coming from online. So they're actually very well positioned in this environment, hence why they're going to keep paying their staff. So we're sort of seeing, you know, online retailers that are largely skewed to online doing quite well. We're seeing Kogan had to sort of, it's warning all its customers that, you know, there's more demand than they've ever been able to, you know, than they're able to keep up with. So, you know, those sort of retailers are quite well placed if you're sort of purely online. But there'll still be a reduction in demand, I would say, in the long term, because you know, there's only so much sort of surge buying that you can see before it starts to peter off again. Mm.
So is anyone keeping a tally of how many people in retail have lost their jobs so far in this crisis?
There's a bit of a rough tally. I would put the figure at the moment to between about 80 and 100,000 just in the last week, which is a fairly whopping figure. And I think it's probably in reality higher than that, because the numbers we're only seeing are the companies that are big enough to sort of announce it. You know, you'd see small chains with two or three stores, or you know, just your smaller mum and dad retailer on the corner. They're all shutting their doors as well. But you know, so the sort of the incremental job losses, it would be in the hundreds of thousands, I would say. That's my sort of broad estimate.
It's devastating for the industry. on the other side of the equation, the supermarkets are a fascinating story. They're hiring. They obviously got huge cash flow coming into their businesses. The thing that I've found extraordinary about watching the supermarkets is how they have had to be mobilised almost in this kind of warlike effort. The thing that really struck home to me was the day that there was an ad on page 3 of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age that was paid for by Coles, Woolworths, Aldi and IGA. And they had all got together and placed an ad together. And I thought, goodness me, things have changed, because normally the ACCC would just have an absolute heart attack about that. What is the biggest priority right now for the people who run Coles and Woolworths?
I think the priority hasn't changed over the past, I mean, I think since we saw the run on toilet paper, which feels like years ago at this point, but I think it was only in reality about 4 weeks ago. The priority is just getting food onto the shelves. And we're seeing a bit of a turnaround in that. We're starting to see more stock more consistently on shelves. It's still a challenge for some of them. And I think, so that would be the number one priority, just making your supermarket look like a normal supermarket rather than having rows and rows of empty shelves. And the second priority, I think, for them is making sure that the vulnerable, so the elderly, the disabled, have access to groceries, because I think that's been a really major focus for them. And that's why we've seen things like the shopping hour, community shopping hour, they call it, earlier in the day. And we're sort of seeing priority online deliveries for elderly and disabled people. So it's I think they've sort of stepped up into this sort of role of keeping the community going, because you kind of take groceries as a given, right? You don't ever think that you're not going to be able to get the food that you eat every week. So I think when that sort of stops being a given, the supermarkets have a responsibility to sort of try and make things as normal and as a standard for people as they possibly can.
The other thing that must be keeping them up at night is just staff welfare, because I was in Woolies yesterday and it was actually a deeply uncomfortable experience. Everyone in there looked slightly stricken and nervous, and people were trying to avoid each other, and staff were trying to stack shelves while customers were trying to get around them, observing the social distancing. Very stressful environment for those staff members, as well as potentially a risk to their health. What are the big retailers doing to address that?
Coles, so I spoke to sort of a store manager at one of the Coles stores, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, and they say that their morale is actually quite good. I think the workers sort of feel, some of them feel like it's, they're sort of putting in their bit and helping the community. And doing something important. Yeah, you're an essential worker, the government thinks I'm essential, that's sort of feels a bit good, but at the same time, I mean, it's undeniably, it would be a stressful experience. And I think the retailers are just doing their best to sort of keep stores clean. They've got up security in a lot of the stores. I think Coles is spending something like $1 million extra a week on security guards for stores, which is quite significant. And you've seen things like Woolworths with the plastic screens, which seems a bit bizarre, but I think it's actually in reality a very good move to not only protect workers from the virus, but also protect them from any sort of potential violent shoppers, which does happen, especially in sort of stressful situations like this.
They might keep those screens well after this crisis is over. Dom, thanks so much for joining me on Please Explain. This is the retail story is a huge part of this crisis in Australia, and it's devastating watching so many people lose their jobs, but also interesting watching things like the supermarkets really rise to the occasion. So we will come back to you in coming weeks to see how it's all going.
Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by David Escort and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.